The question I would pose to you as a board or our question to you is, what should be one of the first steps of a pastoral search process? And what we've proposed is trying to put our house in order. And you might, you know, I was talking to Ed this week and he brought up a good question. He goes, you don't mean simply cleaning up the outside, do you? You know, like polishing the counters and things like that. And I said, no, I mean, when we're talking about putting our house in order, we're trying to do it on every level, inside and out. And it's not simply for the surface improvements, for the intent of fooling somebody. It's a tall order, because admittedly, we do have a lot of problems, both inside and out. But we have a very big God who's capable of helping us to handle them. Now, putting our house in order can't be accomplished by one person or even a few persons. It will truly take a combined effort of everyone who is still a member of this body. And putting our house in order cannot be accomplished by human effort alone without God and the Holy Spirit. We have spiritual deficiencies, some of which we're aware of, and some of which I'm sure we're quite blind to. And only God can affect spiritual growth individually with each of us and as a body through Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and His Word. Now, this is a review. This is kind of MBF's self-assessment of the order of our house. If you remember, we gave you a chance to rank the different programs and aspects of ministry of MBF, with one being the thing we do the best, and 13 being the thing we do the least best, or the worst. And this was our self-assessment of how we ranked. And we, as a board, we just, admittedly, you can't change everything all at once, and you've got to start somewhere. So what we chose to work on was the music program, a special music program, which was towards the bottom. And our goal was to simply try to take one small step in a positive direction. And it was the first program we chose because this ministry had a lot of interest from everybody. And so this is what we did. We had a meeting on June 22nd, and it was very well attended. There were 9 people from the body that attended it, 2 from the board and 2 from the body that regularly take part in the ministry. And it was a good chance for the board members that were there to hear from those people that would be implementing the program, and vice versa, those people to be hearing from the board. And our goal was simply to provide them with a framework from which they could operate a successful music ministry program. And what you see on the next page is actually an outgrowth of that meeting. It's pretty small. Is that in focus? Is that better? Okay, the original guidelines that were in place have been revised to kind of make, you know, to be a better, I guess, fit for this group of that we're trying to lead here. And we listened to the things they had to say, and we've made some changes accordingly. So what we've done at the top, and this is, we'll take time to read through a few of them, is under the motive for the special music and choir program, we wish to conduct the special music program in such a manner that the presenters are properly trained in the area of music and song worship, and that the experience builds them up in the Lord. And the goal here is that any program that's part of MBF, we want to make it our intent that the people don't leave that program jaded and burned. And unfortunately, that happens. And it happens all too recently, even within our church. And so that's a really important thing, is such that when they leave this program, they're saying, you know, thank you, Lord, that I could have been a part of that program, not thank you, God, that that program is done and I'm out of there. And we don't want to leave jaded and burned people or a wake of burned people as a result of any program in our church. And so we put that up there. You know, you could apply whatever program that is. Ours happens to be music and song worship here, but you could apply this to any program of our church. And secondly, to present all special music in such a manner that the listeners hear and see a presentation whose principal purpose is to glorify and worship God. And the goal there is that if the presenters, especially the young ones, if that's their motive, you know, that's going to give them a lot of boldness to stand in front of a congregation, which may be quite a daunting prospect to them. And they'll do things that they wouldn't be able to do in their own strength. And so we want that to be their primary purpose, and that's what we're training them to do. And then, you know, there's nothing more inspiring than seeing somebody trying to do that, or especially youth trying to do that. All right, the line of responsibility stayed the same. The presenters will be accountable or overseen by a special music coordinator, and the coordinator will be responsible to the pastor. And let me clarify that at this time, we don't have a full-time pastor. We have a part-time teaching pastor. So the special music coordinator at this point will go straight to the board, not through a pastor, because we don't have a full-time one in place. And the board is synonymous with the church body. Now, a coordinator. There was very good agreement about the need for a coordinator for this program. This coordinator will provide a contact point for the people that are trying to participate in the special music program. And our coordinator has graciously accepted this position. She will be Diana Christensen. Sorry, Christian. Diana Christian. And the board asked her to do this, and she graciously agreed to, and we really appreciate that. And what I wanted to tell you is her function and the coordinator's function. She will be available and responsible to evaluating the songs to be presented and organizing the scheduling of the special music and communicating that schedule with the others involved in the service preparations and scheduling. Now, what's different from the original guidelines is we had, you know, time restrictions set out and things like that. And we quickly realized in talking to you guys that you didn't want those, some of those time descriptions like the 3 weeks or things like that. And we realized that you were capable of actually, you know, setting your timeline accordingly, okay? So that's been, you know, obviously there'll be a certain cutoff time where the coordinator will need to provide that information to get it into the bulletin, but that can be easily set. And also the coordinator will need a little, you know, proper lead time to get these songs approved and looked at. Now, the next thing is music selection. And this is pretty much the same as it has been. Music should be spiritual in nature to increase the listener's understanding of their relationship with God or draw their attention to God and or God's ways, but not for the intent of demonstrating the talents and abilities of the presenter. Instrumentals with various arrangements of music with a recognizable spiritual message are a good and welcome choice, like hymns or other Christian songs played in varying styles. However, a classical music selection with little or no recognizable spiritual message to the listeners is not a desired choice. Next bullet point, information which may be needed from the presenter by the coordinator for approval are lyrics or a music sheet or a recording of the music or accompaniment. Now, I hope that we can actually view this coordinator as somewhat of a protector, because literally the coordinator can act as that for this presenter. For instance, it becomes pretty much the coordinator's responsibility if a bad selection is made. So the reason I say this is that if at some point the coordinator will probably say, no, that's not the best choice, and at that point, I want you simply to go find a different song. Accept that, realize that they bear the ultimate responsibility for that choice, and don't bite the coordinator. There's lots of songs out there, so simply just go find a different song. Find out maybe why it wasn't a good choice, and just get another song. And try to stay teachable in this process. And lastly, under practices and sound checks, Sunday morning practices was widespread, very important to the group, and we've chosen to just leave that in place. It's something that the guidelines were actually specifying others that were posted on the web, but we've kind of set those aside for the last couple of years. So what we're doing here is that we're saying, okay, go ahead. You can go ahead with the Sunday morning practices, but please try not to interfere with the teachers or leaders preparing for lessons, which, if you remember, the systematic Bible teaching was still the, you know, the principal purpose of our church. So we're trying to protect that with this with that guideline there. And then the second bullet point, children must not be left unsupervised on the grounds or facilities during practice times. That's for their own safety, principally, and also for our insurance rules that are in regard to the church. Last bullet point, presenters are responsible for equipment setup and sound checks to be completed by 9:15 a.m. Sunday morning. And Mark is going to be developing some pictures and a block diagram to help with the setup, because that was another thing we learned during the meeting, is that nobody really knew how to do this reliably. So he's going to, you know, help us put together some graphics to do that better. And hopefully that'll help that. But the point is that what we're trying to do is reduce the amount of confusion right before the service. Because regardless of, you know, what teacher or leader happens to be singing or teaching that morning, we want to make sure we make that a easy process for them. It's never going to be easy. We want to not make it any harder. And to the extent we can reduce confusion, we're going to be better off. And so the 9:15 gets that done at about 30 minutes ahead of time before the first sing time starts, and that would be really important, because a lot happens actually leading up to the services. It's a time where it's really important that we can keep sane and as ordered as possible. So that's the special music program, and I warned you, after we took a first step in a positive direction, and I hope we've at least begun that, we're going to try to take some other ones. And what I want to talk about is infrastructure. Have you guys ever been the benefit of infrastructure or been suffered from having poor infrastructure? Anytime you turn on a light switch, anytime you turn on a water faucet or drive down our road system, you've benefited from a large-scale infrastructure, but it can exist on a smaller scale. You know, with respect to our church, the fact that we've all banded together and stayed banded together provides an opportunity for good infrastructure. Some infrastructure we have better than others. And so right now, we currently have a situation where we're not supporting a full-time pastor. And so it provides us a unique opportunity to actually improve some infrastructure problems that we have in our church. And the first one we're targeting is the carpet that you're sitting on or standing on, and the Awana circle that's inlaid to that carpet. This was actually part of the plan for when we did our building remodel a few years ago. The plan was to take the carpet, same type of carpet that's on the wall, which, by the way, is still available, and put that same carpet on this floor and in that small room over there and re-inlay, you know, a new Awana circle. It turns out we get about 10 years of life out of this before it gets to looking like it is right now. And we're going to do it again. So the building will look better. That'll improve our facilities, and it also will improve the infrastructure to Awana, which was our second-ranked program, one of the, you know, the second thing we thought that we did the best. So we're going to put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, and give that program a proper support in terms of facilities. The next area that we're trying to do in terms of improving infrastructure is we're trying to obtain a commercial-grade lawnmower and associated with that a storage building. Now, you may have seen it out there. I don't know how observant you are. We've already got the storage building. You shouldn't be buying a commercial-grade lawnmower if you're going to leave it sitting outside to either be stolen or rot in the sun. I mean, we've tried that with our other mowers and had that happen. But if we're going to get a good one, there's no reason to do it without protecting it. So we've already obtained a storage building with double doors, and it's the same size as our other one. We're going to use it for maintenance storage and try to maybe keep this first one for kind of a clean storage, maybe even move some of the things that was in there over to the other one, and potentially even, I don't know if there'll be enough room to move the chairs out during Awana or not, maybe get the water that we have lining the side of the building out there in that building as well. And then the commercial grade lawnmower, our hope is that if we get one that's truly commercial grade quality, it'll last longer, and it'll allow us to actually maintain more of the 7.5 acres than we own, because currently I'd guess that we're maintaining less than half of it. And the first step into properly utilizing it is to start maintaining it so we can even get a feel for what's there. And once you start cutting grass, as you cut it, the weeds will stop growing there if you cut it regularly. So that is it. Sorry it took as long as it did. Back to games and talking. Are there any questions? Okay, thanks.